All glory is the assembled devotee.
Na,
not. Twam, you. Jajami, I shall give up. Dayitam, very dear. Dvijadeva, by Lord Brahma, the demigod worshipped by the Brahmanas. Datam, given. Yasmin, unto whom? Manaha, mind. Drik, eyes. Hapi, also. Naha, my. Na viyati, do not go away. Lagnam, tightly attached. Mam, me. Charushringi, a woman with beautiful raised breasts. Arase, you ought. Netum, to lead. Anuvratam, follower. Te, your. Chitam, desire. Yataha, wherever. Pratisarantu, may follow. Shivaha, favorable. Sachivyaha, friends. So translation, Lord Brahma, who is worshipped by the Brahmanas, has very mercifully given you to me, and that is why I have met you. I do not want to give up your company, for my mind and eyes are fixed upon you and cannot be drawn away. O woman with beautiful raised breasts, I am your follower. You may take me wherever you like, and your friends may also follow me. It's very romantic here. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Now, Agnidra frankly admits his weakness. He was attracted to Purvachiti, and therefore, before she could say, "But I have no business with you," he expressed his desire to be united with her. He was so attracted that he was ready to go anywhere, hell or heaven, in her company. When one is absorbed in lust and the influence of sex, one surrenders to the feet of a woman without reservations. Srila Madhvacharya remarks in this connection that when one engages in joking and talking like a crazy person, one may say anything and everything, but his words will be meaningless. So I just want to read the next text too, the combination of these two, and contrast them too. So text 17, I'll just read it. Shishukuvacha iti alala nanu nayati visharado gramya vaidangyaya parivashayatang vibhuda vadum vibhuda matir avisa vajayamasa. Shukadeva Goswami continued. Maharishi Agnidra, whose intelligence was like that of a demigod, knew the art of flattering women to win them to his side. He therefore pleased that celestial girl with his lusty words and gained her favor. So Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport that since King Anidra was a devotee, he actually had no attraction for material enjoyment, but because he wanted a wife for progeny, and Lord Brahma had sent Purvachiti for this purpose, he expertly pleased her with flattering words. Women are attracted by a man's flattering words. One who is expert in this art of flattery is called Vidagdha. So it appears to be a contradiction, but we'll explain it here. So, Omagana Timadandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuran Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, in the first verse, we find King Agnidra completely acting and saying crazy things. And Prabhupada actually says in the purport here, in the first verse, that he was attracted to Purvachiti, and therefore, you know, he was saying all these things. In other words, he was influenced by her beauty. And in the next verse it says he's a devotee, and he had no attraction for material enjoyment. So how do you really deal with both of those statements? Well, first of all, it's not that he is a pure devotee. There's different types of devotees, I mean, beginning with Kanishtha Adhikaris, and there's Majjhima Adhikaris, and then there's Uttama Adhikaris. Of course, Kanishtha is one who's materialistic, and then the Majjhima, he knows the philosophy, but he's not so expert in the Shastras, but he has firm faith. And then there's Uttama Adhikari, who's completely absorbed in his pastimes with Krishna, and really considers everyone serving Krishna, and he doesn't preach because he's so much absorbed in the internal life. In any case, we can understand from these descriptions that Maharaj Agnija was a Sakama devotee, because the description here is that his intelligence was like that of a demigod, in the second verse. So the demigods, in general, are Sakama devotees. There are some Nishkama devotees. Asakama means they have some desire to fulfill. And there are some Nishkama devotees. For example, Yamaraj is a Nishkama devotee. He's a devotee with no material desires. He just wants to serve Krishna. And perhaps he has the occupation, the most difficult occupation of all the demigods in the heavenly planets. You know, if I had to pick an occupation, which demigod I want to be, it'd probably be Kuvera. Because you have plenty of money. Because in this material world, we're always in anxiety about money, even if you're running the Krishna Conscious Movement, especially if you're running the Krishna Conscious Movement, isn't it? You could ask Ananta, isn't there sometimes anxiety about money? Yeah. So you would probably pick Kuvera also. I certainly wouldn't want to be Yamaraj. That would be, forget it, you know. That's a thankless task. Nobody loves you. When you have to punish them. So anyway, so as like a demigod, it says here, so he had some desire, but his desire was to do things in a religious way, in a Krishna conscious way. So there's actually two margas in, marga means path in devotional service. There's Nivritti Marg and Pravritti Marg. So Nivritti Marg means basically renunciation. And Pravritti Marg means that you're accepting things, dovetailing your desire for sense gratification in Krishna's service. I mean, basically all of us are doing a little bit of Pravritti Marg because we like to offer nice food to Krishna and then we eat it. And just like if someone offers us a mahaplate and they just give us let's say some chickpeas and they say here's some mahaprasadam, we'll probably say no, I really want real mahaprasadam, which means the sweets and fried foods and everything like that. So there's some desire for enjoyment in this material world, and of course we always come to Krishna consciousness with some desire for enjoyment. So there's injunctions how one can enjoy his senses in this material world and still be in Krishna consciousness. So it's not that everybody has to just be completely renounced, take sannyas, and all that other stuff. It's frightening if you think about it. You know, if we preach like that, and sometimes people do preach like that to the public, svavidvara hostrakarai samstuta purusha pashu, those who are like hogs, dogs, camels and asses, and praise those who are not adverse to the devotional service of the Lord. In other words, let's say if we see a devotee reading the newspaper, we say, you're just like a hog, dog, camel, or an ass. So that's quite discouraging if we tell people that. So basically we have to, in the beginning at least, engage people in Pravritti Marg, or encourage people, and not so much stress the Nivritti because it frightens people away. Like Prabhupada, I remember Prabhupada preaching one time, he was telling people, like young men, he said, you can join the Hare Krishna movement, of course you brahmachari shouldn't listen to this. He said, and we'll join the movement and we'll find you nice wives. I mean, that's an interesting reason for joining the Hare Krishna movement. And of course, there are four basic reasons people join the Krishna consciousness movement, you know, because they're looking for wealth, that means material opulence or wives or something like that, or they're inquisitive or they're in distress, or they want knowledge. Nowadays, you don't run into many people that are looking for knowledge, isn't it? Someone is searchers. I remember in the 1960s, it was very popular to be looking for the absolute truth. There were books like Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse. I don't know if anyone's ever read that book. And, you know, other books about searchers. Nowadays, you don't run into many searchers. So our preaching has to be a little bit different than it was previously. Anyway, so Prabhupada actually said that there may be pravritti marg, but there's danger on the path. So one has to be very, very alert in the pravritti marg path. In other words, one has a license for sense gratification. Sometimes people think when they get a license for sense gratification that it's an unlimited license. Just like if you get a car license and you're very young, sometimes you think you can speed, right? You think you're on the Autobahn. You know what the Autobahn is? Yes, the German highway. And certain parts of the Autobahn, there's no speed limit. So sometimes I go with one of my disciples there, his name is Radharaja, and he takes me up to about 220 kilometers. And I'm just like shaking. I said, "Isn't this dangerous?" He says, "No, I'm driving." I said, "No." I said, "Let me drive instead." You know. So even though it's allowed, it's quite dangerous, because what happens if your tire explodes at 220 kilometers, does anyone know? You've taken off like an airplane at that point. But you don't land like an airplane. You're finished. So in other words, even though you're following the law sometimes, you can get in trouble. That's why Prabhupada said, even danger on the royal road, the pravritti marg. But in any case, the license that we get for sense gratification is a limited license. I mean, for example, like the grahasthas are married, hopefully. So, and so they have a license to have the sex life, and it's for procreation, right? Procreation, it's a limited license. Like one time, Prabhupada was explaining that, and one sannyasi said, then better not to get married. And Prabhupada said, that's right, good boy. Well, that was for a sannyasi. I'm not giving that instruction for everybody. So it's a limited license that you get. I mean, like eating prasadam, you don't have a license just to eat, overeat. You say, "Oh, it's prasadam, so I can just eat like 25 pakoras." Of course, Prabhupada did say in the beginning, when you first join the Hare Krishna movement, you should eat so much up to your neck. But that beginning is only like a year or two. After that, I remember joining the movement, we followed Prabhupada's instructions very seriously in that regard. And we ate so much that we were actually in pain after eating prasadam. And the devotee said, "Well, Prabhupada said if you eat too much, you lie on your left side rather than on your right side, because the right side has the liver and the gallbladder." So you lie on your left side, and you go, because I remember lying on the stairs in the temple, and I was going, "Oh." And then you would eat so much red peppers, because there were a lot of red peppers in the prasadam then, that we cooked the way Prabhupada taught us to cook, which was like these chaunces, you know, chaunces with tons of red peppers and tons of ginger. And so therefore we had digestive problems. And we ended up, you know, in different rooms, anyway, I won't mention them, getting rid of the digestive problems. And the devotees would say, "This is purification." you know, when you first join the movement, you get purified, you know, flushes out your body, you know, Panchakarma, you know. Because they didn't know the name Panchakarma in those days. That's something new, you know. But anyway, so it's purification. So, in other words, it was all right. I mean, we were joining the movement, and there was necessity to sort of like really pig out on prasadam. But the license is not an unlimited license. That's the point I'm making. It's a limited license. Because we know from Rupa Goswami it's that if you eat too much, it's a cause of fall down. Collecting too much, eating too much, over-endeavor. So one has to be very, very careful with these different licenses. And so here it's understood that Agnidra, yes, he was a devotee and he wanted to do things in a Krishna conscious way, but he did get carried away. And the proof of that is the end of the chapter where he goes back to home, back to Purvajiti. You know, he's so attached that after she leaves, it's just like feeling separation. The moment is like 12 years or more. Tears are coming from my eyes like torrents of rain. And I'm feeling all vacant. The world is void in your absence. Right? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. So one has to be very, very careful about these things. In general, we have to be very, very careful when we come in contact with sense objects. And here the different attractions are mentioned both for the man and for the woman. For the man, you know, he's attracted to the beautiful features of a woman's physical form. The eyes, the ears, you know, whatever. Not the ears. I don't know how someone's attracted to the ears. But you know, you got beautiful ears. They look like pots. You know, the hair, like that, you know, hairdresser. You know, there's different styles. Like the ladies go to the hairdresser and they spend so much time and they put this big dryer over their heads. Right? Do they do that? I mean, before I joined the movement, one time I went with one of my male friends to the hairdresser. So he was sitting there with a hair dryer on his head, and I was just reading, I think, Prabhupada's books or something like that. How was all Maya? So the women decorate their bodies so that people will appreciate them and praise them and say, oh, what beautiful earrings you have. Even the Indian society, there's one ceremony that occurs before marriage. It's called the Priti Bhoj, which literally translated means love feast. And so the day before the marriage, all the ladies get dressed up in their finest apparel, that means clothes, and they're just showing each other off the clothes. So one day, it was the day before the marriage, and I was visiting someone's home, and I didn't see the ladies there. I just saw the men, and usually the ladies are serving prasadam, and I said, where are they all? And they were hiding in the kitchen, so that I couldn't see that they were dressed up like deities. So I looked in the kitchen and I said, what have you done with yourselves? So and then I came back to the temple and we have a hall there, so that Priti Bhoj was taking place and it was just like a fashion show. I just looked in the window and I practically fell over laughing. Anyway, so So the ladies dress like that because they want to be praised. So here we find Purvachiti. She's really appreciating the praise of Maharaj Agnidra. And so women are attracted to that sort of thing, like praise. I mean, one time one of the ladies came to me and said, I really need a husband because I need someone to cherish me. I was thinking about this word, cherish. Cherish means, you know, you put someone on an altar. Like the deities we cherish, they're very dear to us. You know, we dress them and look at them, and how beautiful they are today. And so, anyway, so that's a woman's weakness. And then a man's weakness is the physical form. So everyone has their different weaknesses. And so we have to be cautious about our particular weakness, whether a man or woman, or we may be attracted to other things. We may be intellectual, we may be a gyani. You know, some people aren't attracted on the gross physical platform for one reason or other. You know, they're just like so much in the head. We call them eggheads. Maybe their heads like this. Anyway, so they're very just attracted to knowledge. I mean, I was like that before I joined the movement. I would take the dictionary and just read the dictionary for fun. It was, you know, it was my fun. Or read the encyclopedia. Or nowadays we have the internet. You know, you just like free associate from one topic to another. Isn't that interesting? Wow, so interesting. So we have different objects that attract us, that deviate us from Krishna consciousness. So we have to be very much aware. We may say, well, I'm a devotee, I'm worshiping Krishna. But there's an interesting story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about one devotee who was directly with Lord Chaitanya, that became lured away because of his attraction to the form, the female form. And he was cheated in that way. Fortunately, Lord Chaitanya saved him. So that story is a very interesting story. It was the story of Kala Krishna Das, who is Lord Chaitanya's personal servant. Imagine being the personal servant of Lord Chaitanya. You know, which sannyasi are you serving? Well, God. You can't do better than that, you know. So he was serving Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was in South India, and there was this group of gypsies. They're called Bhattaharis. At least they have a spiritual name, Hari. Bhattaharis. Just like even in Europe, the gypsies, they originally came from India. Did you know that? Yeah, originally from India. So anyway, so this particular group, they won followers by sending some of their ladies out to attract the men. Actually, even in America, in the 1960s, there was a Christian group like that. They were called the Children of God. And actually, they were the children of Maya. But anyway, so they would use girls and break the regular principles, actually, to track people to their fold. So this particular instance in South India, these Bhattaharis sent some of the girls to attract Lord Chaitanya's servant, and Lord Chaitanya's servant, he just followed them like a zombie. Just like it's described here. Of course, Lord Vrishabhadeva describes it a little better in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya priteya aprinoti. He says, one who is really into his senses or attached to the senses, nunam pramata, he's crazy. Like Prabhupada would sometimes say, who is crazy? I mean, if someone acts like a dog, that's pretty crazy, isn't it? I mean, if a dog acts like a dog, you know, it's just like normal stuff. But if a human being starts barking, Prabhupada even said that, like people will pay to see a man bark, but they won't pay to see a dog bark. So, so if a human being starts acting like a dog, that's crazy. And that's what happens when one becomes attached to the senses. Like, you know, here we have Agnidra saying, I am your follower. You may take me wherever you like. Oof. I mean, what if she wants to take him to hell or something? Anyway, but he, you know, he's thinking devotionally. He knows, you know, there's two things going on. But still, he's in Maya. I mean, he's a devotee, but he's still succumbing to the allurements of the royal road or the Pravritti Marg, which you have to be careful. So anyway, so this Kala Krishna Das, he was just drawn away by these Bhattaharis, and he became one of them, basically. He was in their camp thinking, this is great, you know, love, all you need is love. He was completely bewildered. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. So then, if one acts crazy, he engages in vikarmic activities. Kurute vikarma. So obviously, this Kala Krishnadas was doing that because he was engaged in illicit life. So even though he knew better, even though he was with Lord Chaitanya, that shows, according to Balaban Indriyagrama, even though someone is very strong, intelligent, vidvan eva hi karshati, then one could be led away by the sense objects very, very easily. And so eventually, of course, Lord Chaitanya was informed that his sermon had been taken away by the Bhattaharis, and he said, please, give me back my servant. And they were not ready to give him back his servant. They started to attack him with all these choppers, you know, these big knives. And then what happened is that because he's God, he didn't have to pull out a gun to defend himself. Those very same choppers, which the Bhattaharis had in their hands, turned on them. And they started to cut themselves to pieces. And then Lord Chaitanya grabbed his servant by the hair, basically, and brought him back. And then it's mentioned there, you know, how glorious is the master who never neglects the servant, and how glorious is the servant who never neglects the master. Also, there's actually something very interesting in the Bible where Jesus Christ talks about a shepherd, someone who takes care of sheep, and he says, which sheep does the shepherd think of most? Does anyone know the answer to that? The one that wanders away, he thinks about him most. So of course, you know, if you want your guru to think about you the most, I guess you could wander away from Krishna consciousness. It's not a good proposal, is it? So anyway, so this Kala Krishna Das was completely bewildered. So what that indicates for us, because all these stories, which are real, they actually happen, they're meant to teach us something too. Just like if you look at the stories about Krishna killing the demons. Yes, Krishna killed the demons. There actually was Agasura, Palamasura, and all these other Sura people. Same family, you know, his last name, Sura. Asura family. And so but each and every one teaches us something. Like Putana, for example. Of course, she got to go back to Godhead. You know. So each and every one of these demons, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, represents an anartha. So we can study Krishna consciousness on that level too, because the whole philosophy is meant to be applied in our lives. So it's not just these stories, hey, King Agnidra, he was in Maya, Purvachiti, you know, she was beautiful. But we have to be careful about our sense objects. So each and every one of us should understand what we're attracted to in this world. It may not be men, it may not be women, it may be something completely different, maybe computers like me. So, and then we have to be very careful not to overly engage the senses with the sense objects. It's necessary to engage the senses with the sense objects to a certain extent for the Yukta Vairagya principle. Like I was listening to a class of Prabhupada today, and Prabhupada was decrying, he was criticizing material education, for example. And then one devotee said to Prabhupada, he said, but if we don't have material education, how are we going to learn to read the Shastras? Is interesting. You know, Prabhupada said, you know, just learn about Krishna, but the devotee said, you got to learn how to read. And Prabhupada indicated at that point that when you have education to a certain extent that's used to serve Krishna, it's not material education anymore. In other words, we're not saying, don't go to school, don't study, don't go to the university. In fact, Prabhupada even sent people to the university. Prabhupada encouraged Swarup Damodar to continue his studies and get his PhD so he could head up the Bhaktivedanta Institute, you know, preach to the scientist with those credentials. He encouraged Ravindra Swarup Prabhu to get his PhD in religion. So, can we say Prabhupada encouraged material education? Not really. Prabhupada encouraged the Yukta Vairagya principle. And Prabhupada was also quoting in this particular morning walk, because every morning I listen to conversations of Prabhupada. He was also quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, material education makes one as foolish as an ass. So, you know, so it was contrasting these two things. material education, but Prabhupada sometimes tells the devotees to get material education. We need some education. So we have to be very careful with this yukta vairagya principle. That relates, of course, to Prabhupada Marg. Using things in Krishna's service. That really, it can be used in Krishna's service. We don't get bewildered by it. And we don't accept more than necessary. In this way, we can actually preach Krishna consciousness because we are daily dealing with Krishna's material energy. And so in order to maintain ourselves on that particular consciousness, we should see that everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure, everything is owned by Krishna. Again, we get back, like I mentioned yesterday, Yishuvashamidam Sarvam Yatkamcha Jagajam Jagat. Everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Lord, meant to be utilized for the Supreme Lord. We're given a quota that's meant to be utilized for the Supreme Lord. Just like if you borrow someone's car, don't use it for your own enjoyment. Don't go joyriding. Isn't it? Don't go to the bar. So everything belongs to Krishna. So if you have Krishna's car, you have Krishna's... This is body belongs to Krishna. Your mind, manasadeya, skaya, yokishamor. Anyway. So any questions or comments? We'll keep it short this morning. Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues, politics? Yeah. Well, give me an example.
Yeah. No. like when you're in contact with a sense object.
Okay. Well, let's say you're on Sankirtan and you're distributing. Actually, you know, we had this experience too with that. You go door, we used to go door to door alone on Sankirtan. So you knock on the door. This lady comes out. Hello, young man. Come in. I want to hear about Krishna consciousness. you got several options. One is you can scream, ah! Run away. And I don't suggest that one. You should be chanting Hare Krishna helps a lot, you know. Did you ever try it? You know. But not really that loud in that circumstance. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Or you can say, yes, Mataji. But if it's a non-devotee, she won't appreciate that one. Isn't it like if you, some young girl, and you say, okay, Mataji. Okay, mother. Now you may get cursed like Arjuna was cursed by Urvasi. So what I find is it you simply chant Hare Krishna in the mind. When the mind starts to wander, because we are put in different circumstances where we are confronted with different sense objects. I mean, that's natural. So just be aware of it and just, you know, in your mind, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Well, what I advise the devotees is to learn how to chant Hare Krishna mentally. One way that I try to help the devotees hear the japa more is I say, try chanting one round in your mind. Actually, Haridas Thakur chanted 64 of his 192 rounds in his mind. Did you know that? Of course, we should chant out loud. I mean, that's Prabhupada's injunction when we chant our 16 rounds. But if you try chanting, it's really hard. Chanting one round and really concentrating in your mind. Then later on when you're chanting out loud, you'll actually chant in your mind simultaneously. That's what I do. I mean, sometimes people ask, how can you chant japa so quickly? Because I chant 5-minute rounds. Because I'm actually thinking of the mantra as I'm chanting. You know, the mantra is actually going out of my mind. It's not just, yes, I'm hearing, I'm chanting, and then in the mind there's also, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram, Hare Ram. not exactly picturing like on the wall or something like that, but it's just, the mantra is actually pictured in my mind. It's not pictured, it's going on in the mind. So you learn that art, and then you'll become aloof from practically any circumstance that could be attractive to you. Of course, don't go into that house with the lady. I mean, I'm not saying, oh, you're smoking. You say, I have some books to show, but I have an appointment right now. I mean, you make up some nice excuse. But you do find yourselves in different circumstances. I mean, you're flying on a plane. You know, like I go on a plane all the time, and, you know, oftentimes they put a lady next to me. I can't just say to the counter, you know, at the airplane, you know, no ladies allowed next to me. So, but you talk to them about Krishna. I mean, actually, if you're seeing that everybody belongs to Krishna, they belong to Krishna, you'll see them as servants of Krishna, so you really won't see them as a sense object. You know, many times we're flying and the lady asks me questions. Why do you have that pink purse with you? So, you know, one time the male stewards asked me for a date because he thought I had a pink purse. I said, I already have an appointment tonight. So, so if you really see people as just conditioned souls, you know, struggling, your brothers and sisters, that's another thing. You see people as your brother or your sister, then you don't think of enjoying them. You think that, you know, this is a person suffering in this world, and then you think of being compassionate. But you really have to be cautious, especially when you're young. You know, when you're young, the senses are just more inflamed. When you get old, it's just, you know, things get much more peaceful, especially when you die. It's really peaceful. No, I mean, when the Yamadutas come, it's not so peaceful. But anyway, but when you get older, it's, you know, it's different. I can tell you that. But when you're young, it's just like you get angry like that, isn't it? I won't ask you that. But anyway, so, you know, things can really just like throw you off in a second. When you're older, you know, and you've been chanting Hare Krishna for 200 years, it really helps a lot. So use your intelligence in those circumstances. But definitely, you're going on sankirtan. What can you do? You're coming in contact with so many things. I remember there was one devotee who went out in sankirtan, and he was just so attracted to gadgets, he would spend all of his time in the electronics store. You know, he just like, you go to sankirtan in the mall, but then he'd end up with an electronics store. How many books did you do today? One? So, you know, people are attracted to different things. Just be aware of what your weak point is. Your Achilles heel. You know what an Achilles heel is? That's Greek mythology. There was this person, Achilles, who his mother wanted to protect him from all sorts of danger. So there was this lake. This is someone like the story with Duryodhana, you know. Isn't it? You find very similar stories. So there's this lake that if you put your baby in this lake, he would become so strong nobody could defeat him. So she put him in the lake, but she didn't want to drop him in the lake. She held him by the heel. And so the heel didn't get the water on it. And so he was later on killed by an arrow in the heel. So we all have this certain weakness that we have for Maya. Maya comes in many different flavors, like ice cream. You know, if someone offers me, let's say, beetroot ice cream, I will not be attracted to but if they offer me chocolate ice cream, then, wow, chocolate. You understand? So you understand, avoid chocolate ice cream. So, whatever your weakness is, just be very careful about that. So any other questions? Yeah.
You were saying that
Yeah.
But I find that my mind gets distracted.
That happens.
Sooner or later, it falls for something there, and I leave, and then it takes me.
Yeah, takes you somewhere else.
So how?
Just become more alert. I mean, that happens. In our service, sometimes the mind gets diverted when we're looking for something on the internet. Especially with Facebook, something like that. I just use Facebook for broadcast. You know, once in a while, I'll see an interesting post that one of my disciples gives, and then I look at their page and I just see how much Maya they are, and I get depressed. some disciples said, we had an ecstatic Harinam. I said, wow, Harinam. And I just push on the button. And then she says, I just got the most beautiful sari on her page. So it teaches me a lesson, don't click on too many links. But, I do a lot of research in my preparation for, not just for the Bhagavatam class, for talking to people and things like that. And I do have to read the news. Because, I'm interacting with people. So one has to be alert. It's just a question of, you make a mistake a few times. Of course, it's not a deadly mistake. I mean, you're not looking at something that's against the principles. And then you learn the art of doing it after some time. Yeah. Yeah, the mind gets tired, it's harder to do.
Cannot, really focus or really intellectually be active, then it just
goes off. And turn off the computer at that point. That's a, the mind definitely gets tired and you really can't be productive anymore, then what I do is instead of getting so much into philosophy or preparing things, I'll read some Krishna conscious story that's a little light reading. Like right now I'm reading, before I take rest, sometimes I like to read the Gita, and last night I got back, so I was reading this biography of Gaur Govinda Maharaj, which is very enlivening. So it's a light reading. When the mind can't process so many things anymore, then you do something light, Krishna conscious light. Anyway, it's a question. Yeah? Yasmin.
I would like to ask you two questions, which have nothing to do with today's lecture.
Okay.
But it would take about 5 minutes, and it's not the time now anymore.
We could talk later, rather, yeah.
Yes, could we talk later, or maybe tomorrow after the lecture?
Yeah. No, we can figure some time to talk about it. So, any other questions about the points we made in the lecture? Even one of the senses that the mind concentrates on can drag away one. So one has to be very careful. No other questions? Romantic questions or anything? Nunam pramata kurute vikarvek. Then one becomes mad when one becomes attracted to sense objects. Any sense object. One just becomes mad. And that's why we have our four regulated principles. We can explain our four regulated principles on that basis. Like, first of all, gambling, one becomes mad. Even Yudhisthira became mad when he was gambling. He gambled away his wife, and then later did another gambling thing like that. Or intoxication makes you mad. Illicit sex makes you mad. It makes you more attracted to the body, puts you on the bodily platform. And meat eating, of course, it's vikarma, it gives you a lot of bad karma, and at the same time brings you down to lower modes of nature. As Krishna describes in the Gita, food in the mode of ignorance is like meat, putrid, stale, decomposed, things like that. So The real reason we have the four regulated principles is to keep our consciousness on the highest level. Okay, yeah, one more question.
How does one fall in love? It's like,
how does one fall in love? I don't think we need to give lessons about that. Prabhupada said there's no lessons required. I mean, it's natural. What happens? Let's see, how to describe it. I think we've been reading about it the last few days. But what it is, it's a perverted reflection of Radha and Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. Because we are envious of Krishna, and we want to be the controller, Ishwaro Ham Aham Bhogi Sino Ham Balavan Sukhi. We want to be perfect, powerful, happy, you know, controller and everything like that. And we want to imitate Krishna. Like Prabhupada said one time, we're sent in the material world to imitate Krishna, just like a little girl is given a play oven to imitate her mother who's baking. And so the oven, the most the oven can bake is mud pies. So that's what we're baking, a bunch of mud pie enjoyment. So, because it's out of envy. You know, out of envy, one will do so many crazy things. So then we want to be, like, for example, all right, here's the point. Like, a man falls in love because he wants someone to serve him and, you know, basically be a servant. And the woman wants someone to be her servant. I mean, that's basically it, that someone to, you know, iron their clothes, I guess, or something. But look at them, you know, my lord and master. So therefore, one time Guru Kishordas Babaji Maharaj was approached by a newly married couple, and the man asked, "What should we do?" And he said to the man, that you should always serve your wife. You should clean for her, you should cook for her, and everything like that. That's a reverse role right there. And so, yeah, we want to have a servant. Someone to service, and of course it doesn't work out like that after a few minutes. So, that you have a servant. So instead we should want to serve. I mean, the proper attitude to go into marriage is that you're serving the other person and bringing them to Krishna. But falling in love means that, you know, finally I got someone to be my worshiper. Like that. And, you know, I can't speak so much from first experience. There was one incarnation of Lord Shiva. Shankaracharya was asked basically about the same question, and he didn't have an answer. So what he did is he went into trance and entered into a dead king's body. You've heard this story before? Anyone's heard this story? He entered into a dead king's body, and the king got up again. He was dead. And then he got a chance to experience the king's life for a while, and then he was able to have an argument with the lady about what love was. And he defeated the lady. So, but basically, and then even on the physical level, there's the hormonal response, which is practically automatic, that occurs. And you get all these hormones that basically dull your brain. And we mentioned before that cause the brain to be similar to a brain of someone who has snorted cocaine. So one loses his sense of judgment. So that's what falling in love is. You can try it sometime. I don't advise it. It's better to learn by hearing. First class intelligence means, Prabhupada said, learn by hearing. Second class is to learn by doing. Third class is to do and not learn. So, better to learn by hearing. You can avoid so many problems if you learn by hearing. Sometimes we have to do, just like when I was young. My mother told me that fire is dangerous. You can get burnt. And I didn't accept what she said. So in order to teach me a lesson, she took a little match and burnt me a little bit. But nowadays that would be considered child abuse or something. And to this day, I don't play with fire. So I had second-class intelligence. Had I been really intelligent, I would. And then another thing, oh yeah, another way I learned is that, you know, the PowerPoints on the wall? I thought, you know, I just stuck my finger in one day. It was quite a shocking experience. And I don't do that anymore. So that's second-class intelligence. So you have to see whether you have first or second-class intelligence. Isn't it? I feel like there's this story of King Yayati. He had to experience what is described in the Bhagavatam as a life like a goat for like thousands of years, and finally, you know, he realized. Does everybody know that story, King Yayati? I'm not going to tell that whole story. That's two classes of stories just to tell that story. Anyway, so it's better to have first-class intelligence, but what can you do? Sometimes we got to stick our finger in the PowerPoint just to understand what a shock is. Like if you ask me, what is a shock? I can't explain what it is. But it's not nice. So the same thing with falling in love. I really can't explain what it is, but it's not nice. On that happy note. Oh my God. None of the ladies will come to class from now on. Anyway, so